Well, we do appreciate the ministry of the choir this evening and thank the Lord for that ministry in the gospel. And we thank the Reverend McKee for the opportunity to be with you this evening and the session here. We appreciate the opportunity to be here to preach the gospel even this evening. We had God's servant with us last Sunday. His ministry was much appreciated and well received. Maybe too well received in the congregation. They all love him over there in Portland, Owen, and we're glad of that, and we're glad to renew fellowship with so many of you here in the gospel. Thank you for your prayers for us over in Portland, Owen. We thank you for that. We've just come out of a two-week gospel mission, and we're so thankful for what the Lord has done among us, and we're praying that what God has done for us on that side of the ban, God will do on this side of the ban. And may God be pleased to save as he has even among us. This evening we're turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Now it's not a familiar portion that you would turn to at a harvest Thanksgiving weekend, but I trust that as we make our way through the message that you'll understand why we've turned to this portion of God's word. And so Genesis chapter 49, if you don't have a Bible, just listen as we read the word of God just now. Genesis chapter 49, we'll begin reading at the opening verse. The word of God says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honour. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Jacob is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his fold unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk." Amen, and we'll conclude our reading at the end of the verse 12. Let's just briefly unite in a word of prayer. If you're a Christian, you pray. Pray that God will help in the ministry of the word and the gospel this evening. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we come now into thy presence. We're praying, Lord, that thy blessing will be upon now the preaching of the word. We thank thee for the ministry and song, the blessing that it has been to our own soul, help that has been given throughout the entirety of this service. And now as we come to the central act of any worship service, the preaching of the word, we pray that thou will grant help to this poor preacher. Thou dost know my weakness. Thou dost know, O God, mine inabilities. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that whenever we're weak, then we're strong. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, we pray that this evening that will be my testimony. That thou will come and help, Lord, and give power, save the lost, restore the fallen, and Lord, revive the church. For we offer prayer in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen. Harvest time is a time of ingathering. With the seed sown in springtime, having germinated, grown, and ripened in the subsequent months,
The farmer now comes at harvest time to gather in the crop before the frosts and the snows of winter arrive. Many of our harvest hymns that we have in our hymn book refer to this gathering in that takes place during the harvest season. Fanny Crosby, in her harvest hymn, she wrote the words, "We praise thee, O Lord, for the bountiful harvest that now has been gathered and garnered with care." Fred L. Fillmore, he, in his harvest hymn, at the end of his hymn in the chorus, he wrote the words, "Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?" Well, Henry Alford's harvest hymn, a favorite of many, begins with the words, "Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin." As I thought about the ingathering that takes place at harvest time, my mind was taken to words spoken by Jacob here in Genesis chapter 49. In this portion of God's word, we find Jacob lying on his deathbed. His 147-year-old body evidences that death is drawing near for this Old Testament patriarch. And yet Jacob's spirit is ablaze with prophetic insight. Because before he leaves this world and goes out into eternity, Jacob gathers his 12 sons together that he might bless them and then speak prophetically about his sons' descendants. Coming to his fourth son, Judah, he says these words in the verse number 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Jacob speaks here of one called Shiloh who would appear, who would come, who would step onto the stage of human history, and unto this one called Shiloh, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The question is asked, who is this Shiloh? I believe that this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who would come into this world, living Son of God, who stepped out of eternity and stepped into time, taking to himself humanity, yet at all times remaining God. He, God and man, this speaks of none other than the God-man. But Christ was a descendant of this kingly tribe, Judah. He is described in the book of the Revelation as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we read of his descendancy in Matthew chapter 1, we read that Christ came from this very tribe, the tribe of Judah. But I say that this is Christ for another reason. For whenever you look at this name, this title, you'll find that it has three meanings and all find their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. Can I say, in the first place, this term can translate to mean messenger or the sent one. And Jesus Christ is surely the messenger. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is the one who has been sent into the world by the Father to be the Savior of sinners. Not only is it translated messenger or sent one, this term is also translated peacemaker. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He came into this world to preach peace, preaching peace to you which are afar off and to them which are nigh. In Colossians 1 verse 20 we read that having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. It can also be translated prosperous Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only Savior of sinners. He alone is the one who prospers the life and the soul of the individual who comes to exercise faith in Christ for salvation. He is the prosperous Savior. And so whenever Jacob speaks here about a gathering of a people onto Shiloh, he is speaking here about a gathering of the people onto the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question is asked, when does this gathering take place? That's what I want to try and answer in this gospel service this evening in the message that I've entitled, Gathered Onto Christ. Gathered Onto Christ. You know, while we assemble in this house this evening to thank God for the gathering in of a physical harvest, there is a greater reason why this service has been convened in this house this evening, and that is to see to your gathering unto Christ, to see you brought to Christ. This is why this service is convened. This is why this building is opened, to see to your bringing of yourself to Jesus Christ. Now, what may surprise you is that this gathering on to Jesus Christ doesn't take place just once in a person's life. This gathering on to Christ will take place on multiple occasions. This gathering on to Christ takes place multiple times. However, the first gathering on to Christ is pivotal, key, essential. If the other gatherings unto Christ are to take place, and I trust that as we make our way through this message, that that will become apparent to you, that the first gathering is the most important. And so I want us to begin by considering together this first and pivotal important gathering unto Christ. And I refer to the fact that the sinner is gathered unto Christ in salvation. That's the first time that there is a gathering on to Christ. It is in the point when a sinner is drawn to Christ in salvation. Because of our sin, all of us are born estranged from God. We are born in a state of estrangement. Our sin separates us from God. Now, that estrangement does not begin when we, as it were, become fully fledged sinners in adulthood. This estrangement from God doesn't commence whenever we enter our adolescent years. It doesn't begin or start whenever we begin primary school or the first time that we make our way to nursery, but rather our estrangement from God begins at the moment of our conception. Psalm 58, verse 3 declares, "The wicked or the sinner is estranged from the womb." Estrangement from the womb. And then that estrangement manifests itself whenever the child is born, because it goes on to say, "They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." So this estrangement from God begins at the moment of conception. We are born in sin. You're not born a Christian. You're not born a child of God. The Bible tells you and the Bible tells me that we are born sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because our sin has taken us so far from God, and our sin has inhibited any kind of return to God, God in mercy had to devise a way whereby the estranged sinner could be reconciled to God, and that way was through the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now you may ask yourself the question, how are sinners gathered on to Christ in salvation? Well, to gather sinners on to himself, God employs various methods, various agents to accomplish that very end. This gathering on to Christ for salvation, how is this accomplished? Can I say in the first place that it's accomplished through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit that draws the sinner onto Christ, that gathers the sinner onto Jesus Christ. How indispensable the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity is in bringing any sinner to salvation. It is the Spirit of God that convicts the sinner of their sin. It is the Spirit of God who troubles the sinner about their rebellion, about their transgression, about their iniquity, about their sin. It is in the Spirit of God who convinces the sinner that Christ alone is the only Savior of sinners. Not only that, but the Spirit of God then also comforts the sinner with the truth that Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary is sufficient to the putting away of sin. It is the Spirit of God who regenerates the heart. It is the Spirit of God who illuminates the mind with gospel truth. It is the Spirit of God who inclines the will away from sin and on to righteousness. It is the Spirit of God who will then convey that sinner to Jesus Christ, having given to that sinner the twin evangelical gifts of faith and repentance. It is the Spirit of God that gathers sinners onto Christ. You're going out into a gospel mission. Can I say that Thomas Martin will not gather sinners onto Christ? He'll not do it. He'll preach, yes, but it will be the Spirit of God that will gather sinners on to Jesus Christ. And sinner, can I say, if you're in this house tonight, you're unconverted, you're not a Christian. Never a time in your life when you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're to be gathered onto Christ tonight, here in this house, into the gospel and unto Christ for salvation, then you need the Spirit of God to be working in your soul. You need God, the Holy Ghost, to bring you to Christ tonight. So let me ask you, has the Spirit of God been working in your heart? Has the Spirit of God been striving with your soul in recent days? Have you been feeling the burden of sin? Tonight, are you troubled about your sinful past? Does it find you lying awake at night, thinking, petrified, about dying without Christ and a saving interest in Him? Have you renewed interest in spiritual things? Do you long to be right with God? Have you come to this meeting resolved to become a Christian? If so, then you're experiencing the Spirit of God's attempts to gather you onto Christ. What I would say to you is, don't resist Him, but rather yield to Him and say tonight, Christ, to Christ I come. Just as I am, I come. Alongside the workings of the Spirit of God to gather sinners onto Himself, God also uses preaching, and especially the preaching of the cross. We are told by the Apostle Paul that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. Preaching, accompanied by the ministry of God, the Holy Ghost, is God's means of gathering sinners onto Himself. And one of the greatest draws, one of the greatest gathering tools, if we could use that terminology, one of the greatest gathering tools, if not the greatest, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. No other truth has gathered more souls unto Christ than the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Every sinner who trusts in the Savior for salvation is always drawn to the one common place, Calvary. The cross, the tree where Christ suffered and bled and died, the place of reconciliation, the place of satisfaction, the place of expiation, the place of atonement, the place of redemption, the place of blood shedding, the cross. I tell you, man, woman, if the cross doesn't gather you onto Christ, what will? To think that the Redeemer, the Creator, the living God, coming a man and living among men and then going to the cross and suffering there, hands and feet nailed to the tree, crowned with a crown of thorns, spat upon and buffeted. I say, sinner, if the cross doesn't draw you to Christ, what will? What will? Oh, that tonight you would come to the cross of Calvary. And yet how sad it is that there are people here and you've heard the gospel for years and you're still not saved. You've heard about the cross week after week, and you're still not a Christian, and you're not converted, and you're not saved. My question to you is this: will you ever be saved? Will you ever be saved? Will you ever be reconciled to God? Will you ever be at peace with God? Will you ever be redeemed? Will you ever be converted? Will you ever be gathered on to Christ? Miss the cross, and you miss heaven. Miss the cross, and you miss heaven. In Norfolk, Virginia, in the United States of America, there is a railway line. And on that railway line, there is a station located near a cemetery. The cemetery is called Calvary Cemetery. For many years, the trains didn't stop at the cemetery except on the request of a passenger. And so just after leaving the railway station, the railway guard would open the doors off the carriages and announce to the passengers, "Next station is Calvary. Train stops on signal only. Anybody for Calvary?" You know, I feel a little bit like that train guard tonight. To all gathered here, I ask the question, anybody for Calvary? Anybody for Calvary in the gallery? Anybody for Calvary on the ground floor? Anybody for Calvary? Miss Calvary. Did you miss heaven? My prayer tonight is that you'll not miss Calvary, but you'll turn and repent and believe the gospel. Apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God, God can also use the providence of God to gather sinners onto Him. Sickness, sorrow, the birth of a son or a daughter, accidents, national tragedy, can all be used by God to see the sinner gathered on to Christ. There was a home that I visited many, many times in Kalabaki. Kalabaki, that's how they say it, across the band. The woman in the home, saved lady, her husband wasn't. Always took the opportunity to read the scriptures and to present the gospel challenge, even whenever the man was present in the home. But every time I did that, it just seemed to bounce off that man. Nothing ever seemed to go in, no matter how blunt you were, and I can be blunt. No matter how blunt you were, it just seemed to bounce off that man. That was until he received the news that he had cancer. I remember he rang me on my mobile phone. He called me from Antrim Area Hospital, and he asked me would I come down to visit. I knew exactly why he wanted to see me. I was there within an hour. I remember speaking to that man, and I remember on that occasion being able to lead that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the hospital bed, that man called upon the Lord to save him. Within just a number of weeks, Christmas Eve it was, I stood at his open grave, conducting his funeral service. Saved at the 11th hour, but saved nonetheless. What was it that brought that man to a knowledge of sins forgiven? What was it that caused that man to seek after God? It certainly wasn't my visits in the home, but it was the thought of going out to meet God as an unprepared sinner. Sickness drew that man to Christ. God has spoken to you so tenderly, sinner. He's spoken to you in the gospel. He may have to shout to get your attention. What will it take? Will he speak loudly in sickness? The death of a loved one? Some tragic accident or circumstance in your family circle? I don't know what it'll be, but God can use it to gather you on to Christ. Thank God, the promise of God is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But salvation is not the only, it's not the only time and not the only gathering of Christ, unto Christ in the Bible. There are other gatherings yet future that we'll see to our gathering unto Christ. Can I say in the second place, there is a gathering unto Christ at death. If your Bible's still open there in Genesis chapter 49, look down at the closing verse, the verse number 33. For there we read, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Poetic language, but it is language that speaks of Jacob being gathered onto his people. It's really just simply speaking of another way of saying that Jacob died. At death, Jacob was gathered to the spirits of just men made perfect, who had gone before him into heaven and unto God. Abraham, Isaac, his grandfather, his father had been all gathered into Christ, and now he's being gathered onto Christ. He is being gathered onto God. Because you see, for the Christian, death is God's gathering method to bring us to glory. That's what death is. It's simply God bringing home his harvest, bringing home the souls for whom he died, bringing home the redeemed of God. Whenever the beggar in Luke chapter 16 died, we're told that God dispatched from heaven angels. And they came from heaven to earth to convey the soul of that beggar, Lazarus, into heaven. I'll read the verse for you, Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This man had faith in God, faith in Christ. And as a result, his soul was gathered unto God. Whenever Paul spoke about his death, he would speak of it in this way: absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. You see, the apostle, he believed that when he came to die, that he would be gathered on to Christ in death. And is that not a blessed thought, child of God, to think that at death we'll be taken to be with Christ? To think that death is God's mechanism by which he will bring us on to himself? At death, every Christian will be gathered on to Christ, gathered into his presence, gathered into his eternal home, gathered into his love, gathered into his safe and his everlasting embrace. I lay in bed last night, I thought about this meeting, and I thought about those from this congregation who used to sit where you now sit, who've been gathered on to Christ, people that I remember, even as a young boy, in this congregation, I think of Mrs. Spears from Castle Dawson. Maybe not too many of you remember old Mrs. Spears gathered on to Christ. I thought of my good friends, Tilly. I thought about Mrs. Dallas. I thought about Ivan and Louise. I thought about Iris Gilmer. I thought about Olive Montgomery and others brought and gathered on to Christ. I thought about Sandy Lennox. All gathered on to Christ, and many more. I thought of many more. Gathered on to Christ. What a blessing. But if you're not a Christian, at death you'll not be gathered on to Christ. Your gathering at death will not be unto Christ, but rather your body will be gathered into a Christless grave, and your soul will be gathered into a Christless hell. Because in Luke chapter 16, though there is the story of the rich man, or the Lazarus, we're also told what happened to the rich man. And there we read of a man who did not repent of his sin, a man who had no saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to the words. It says that the rich man, whenever he died, he was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The moment that the soul of that unrepentant man died, that man was gathered into hell, gathered into the company of every wicked and foul spirit, gathered into a place prepared for the devil and his angels, gathered into the blackness of darkness forever, gathered into the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This will be your gathering, sinner. A gathering into hell. A gathering into the blackness of darkness forever. A gathering in with the devil and the fallen angels. I say, sinner, this is your end. The end of those that obey not the gospel. The soul is conducted into hell. For if the holy angels come to take the soul of the redeemed to heaven, then I believe that the fallen angels will gather around your deathbed and conduct your soul into hell. Now, do you want that, sinner? I know you do not want that. I know you don't. But this is the end of all them that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because having refused to be gathered unto Christ in salvation, you at death will be gathered in with the eternally damned in hell. Sinner, make sure you're gathered unto Christ in salvation. This is why I say the first gathering is pivotal. Because if you want to be gathered in a death to Christ, you'll need to be gathered unto Him in salvation. In the third instance, there is a gathering unto Christ at His second coming. Speaking of His own return, the Lord Jesus Christ would say in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, in the verses 26 and the verse 27, the Word of God tells us there, Mark 13, 26 and 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall He send His angels and shall gather together, note the terms, gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven at some date in the future, maybe sooner than you think, sinner. Maybe sooner than you think, saint of God. Christ is appearing, and the Lord Jesus Christ will commission His holy angels to gather together His elect. That's the language. And this assembling of the elect will see to it that every child of God who has ever lived, who is yet living, and who is yet still to live will be gathered unto Christ. Not one will be overlooked. Not one will be forgotten. Not one will be left behind. But all the saints of God will be gathered together into one harmonious company at the coming again of Jesus Christ. What a gathering that will be unto Christ. What a gathering at Christ's appearing for the child of God gathered unto Him, the King, the Redeemer, gathered to be with Him. But sinner, the gathering of God's children unto Christ at the second coming will leave you ungathered, and you will be left to face the judgment of God. Because while the child of God will gather, and while God will gather the children of God in that day, you will be disowned by Him. I never knew you. I never knew you. Just think of it, sinner. Christ appearing. He comes to gather His loved ones home. He comes to separate the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, the saved from the lost, the redeemed from those who are not redeemed, those that were reconciled to God, who find peace through believing, and those who rejected God and rejected His gospel and laughed at the Christ of God. And there you are, you're left behind. Think of it. Christ coming. Think of the terror that will course through your body when you see the returning Christ who is coming with 10,000 of His saints to judge the world, and you're not gathered with them. Think of it. Think of the alarm that you'll feel when you understand that the day of gospel opportunity is gone and the door of mercy is shut for you.
Think of the horror you'll experience when Christ returns. This one whose deity you denied, this one whose salvation you rejected, this one whose saints you ridiculed, when he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I be permitted just to read to you John's account of what's going to happen on that day? In Revelation chapter 6, in the verse 14, it says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and the bondmen, and the free men, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Day of judgment, day of wonders. To be one who has rejected Christ, to be one who is not reconciled to God, to be one who is not in union with Jesus Christ, how terrifying that day will be. Not to be gathered unto him at his coming. But that scene will then soon pass, because there is a fourth instance in which there will be a gathering unto Christ, and that is at the judgment. Having returned to earth as the judge of all men, God the Son will then come to gather the entire human race before him in judgment. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man and every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Jesus Christ spoke of the day of judgment in Matthew chapter 25. We read the words, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him," note the words, "before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate the one from the other as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. On the day of judgment, everyone will be gathered before God. Only for him then to separate the sheep, his sheep, from those that are not. But the Christian on that day will then be gathered on to Christ, set it on the left, right hand. The sinner will be gathered with those who know not Christ, set on the left hand, and will then hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Can I ask you, Father, on judgment day, will you be gathered with the righteous or the unrighteous? Mother, can I ask you on judgment day, will you be found among the sheep or the goats? Boys and girls, teenagers, young people, can I ask you on the day of judgment, will you be assembled with the saved or the unsaved? The only way to be gathered with the sheep, the righteous, the saved, is to be gathered unto Christ in salvation. That's why I say the first gathering is pivotal, so important. To be gathered onto Christ in the gospel. And so for that to happen, you must sever your links with sin. And you must place your faith exclusively in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so that whenever the day of judgment comes, that you'll be gathered onto him, onto Christ. There is one final gathering. A final gathering unto him. And that is the gathering into heaven. Where the Savior reveals in Matthew 25 that the sinner will be cast into everlasting fire when
justice is administered. It goes on to say that Christ will say then to those who are in the right hand, those who are saved, verse 34 of Matthew 25, "Come, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This, brethren and sisters, will be the ultimate gathering. This will be the final gathering, the last gathering, when all of God's people get home, when all of the saints from every age are gathered safely and eternally into heaven. And that's the most comforting thought, that someday every member of God's family will be gathered and brought safely home. But on that day, sinner, you'll not be gathered into heaven. For that to happen, you must belong to God's family. It is the Father's house, and only those who belong to the family, God's family, get to take up their position within the house and home. Do you belong to the family of God? Have you been born again? When the Son of God returns to gather his loved ones home, will you be found numbered among them? Will you gather around the throne and sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb? Don't miss that gathering, sinner. Don't miss it. No sin that you presently love, no earthly relationship that you hold now so dear, no worldly possession, no earthly position is worth forfeiting heaven for. But for you to be gathered into heaven, I say it again, you must first be gathered unto Christ in salvation. So I wonder, will you be gathered to him tonight in the gospel? Will you come to him? Will you believe on Christ? This one who was sent to be the Savior, this peacemaker, this prosperous Savior, will you come to Shiloh? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, then come repenting. Come confessing. Come believing. Come to Calvary. Anybody for Calvary. Anybody. Anybody for Christ. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. May God gather you just now by the Spirit and through the Word. May he gather you on to Jesus Christ in the gospel. Let's bow our heads in a brief word of prayer. The Reverend McKee will close the meeting. We'll say a short word of prayer here. If I or God's servant can help you in any way, I know he'll say this. If we can help you, we'll be there at the door. Speak to us. You're here tonight, you know not the Savior. It is our prayer that you'll be gathered onto Christ, not gathered onto the Free Presbyterian Church. That'll do you no good. You'll need to be gathered onto Christ. May God gather you just now, and may you say, "Jesus, I come to thee, loving Father." We rejoice in our gathering unto Christ, those of us who are saved, and all of these great events that are yet to take place in our lives, our death, the coming again of Christ. Whenever the Savior comes to gather his bride and take them eventually to heaven, all of these times, thank God, we're going to be gathered unto him. And being gathered on to him, we shall be forever with him. We pray for those who have yet not been gathered on to Christ, those who are unconverted, unsaved, unregenerate, still in their sin. Oh, that tonight they'll be gathered on to Christ, and in doing so, that they'll leave sin behind and they'll embrace Christ as he freely offers himself to them in the gospel. Oh, may even in coming days, many, many be gathered unto the Saviour. Answer prayer, give thy servant now the help of God as he closes out the meeting. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.